Welcome. My name is Carl Shellstrom, and this is the third part of the abridged discussion that John Butters and I held in the late summer of 2023, discussing family businesses, compensation, and long-term incentives. In this third part, we talk about the details of an LTIP, a long-term incentive plan. And a big shout out for Oliver Nelkin, who recorded and edited all this.
Well, let's go on to the detail of an LTIP. The first big question I've got is what we should be paying out for. So we've already touched on this a little bit with profit, so it takes us there quite nicely.
Yeah.
One thing that you said to me, and this is the thing above anything else, has driven my construction of our LTIP, is payout when shareholders will be delighted to pay.
Yes.
And that's totally stuck with me. Shareholders pay, so they ought to be delighted to pay. There's that. But then you get into this question of, well, when would they be delighted to pay for some long-term thing, some kind of long-term value creation? And that's quite hard to measure and understand. So can I leave you with that?
Yes. So one of the classic phantom share plans that you'll find in the market is quite a scary thing, where you say, okay, so how does a share plan work if we're a quoted company? Well, we could argue that it's our profits times our PE multiple that equals our share price.
Yes, yeah, so this is the ratio of price to earnings on a listed company, for those unfamiliar with the jargon.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. So that leads us to go, okay, so we make profit of 10, and then we go to all our listed competitors and we get what is the average PE number that they have and say that is 10. So therefore, the value of our company is 100.
Yeah, so you make 10 of earnings and your listed competitors are on 10 times price to earnings. So you say, okay, my company is worth 100 million pounds.
Exactly. And it's quite helpful. You'll find a lot of venture capital, private equity, valuations will link back to that sort of formula. So it's a fair guess, right? But when we're talking incentives, if we're going to say you will earn according to the value increase of our share or the value of our company, or we'll link your long-term incentive to the value of our company, then we have a very strange sort of 10 times the multiple of some competitors. I mean, if you're in the wrong industry, say tech business, where the multiple is maybe, you know, it's 20, 30, 40 times, you can be giving away an awful lot of the company on that sort of multiples.
Yes. Yeah, so
it could be worth improving the multiples of your competitors rather than your profits. Hypothetically.
That's a very good point.
Yes.
But so also, if we've done this maths I talked about earlier, your company's earning 10.
Yeah.
You say the company is worth 10 times what we're earning, so we're worth 100 million.
Yeah.
You have a good year,
managers
make you 20. So then you say, well, congratulations, for the company's now worth 200 million.
Exactly.
And we'll pay you the share of the extra 100 million of value you've made us.
Yeah.
You know, that's very dangerous very quickly.
So you've given away 5%. You've given options over 5%.
Yes.
Yeah, then it's £5 million.
Yes, quite.
That's on a 10 million profit. So you could even be giving away more.
Yeah, so we're talking about value creation.
Yeah.
And the point here is, be careful about saying the value that management has created this year is some large multiple of the extra profit they've made this year.
So this is what I mean by be very careful with the formula that that your incentive is based on. So if we then take that formula and we think, okay, so what is it that we would be happy to pay for? That sort of challenges this PE multiple shortcut. What is PE multiple? Well, it is the market saying, we believe that level of profitability will continue to be delivered or improved upon into the future. So therefore, this is how we value the company. This is how much it is worth, hypothetically. We can do the same with the company as shareholders. Now, what do we value in the company? What is it that we as a family appreciate in our company? It may be profits. It may also be how the cash flow works, how predictable the cash flow is. It may be reduction of debt. It may be how we protect certain assets and how we encourage bigger bets on other assets. Mm. It may be all these factors, depending on what kind of company we are and what it is that our plan for long-term success is. And that's really, I mean, to put it very simply, if you want to share the wealth creation with your management, it should be linked to your plan on how to do that.
I think this connects back to an earlier discussion as well, that one of the reasons that I'm not entirely sorry we've opened the LTIP Pandora's box is that it does make you think. And you have to be able to sit down, not with management, who, you know, in a family business, you might well, if you're relying on professional managers as we are, you know, it's their intelligence and their market knowledge and everything else that will drive the strategy. But you need to be able to sit down as a board and say, well, what actually exactly do we want? Yeah. And what actually exactly don't we want? And it seems to me you can't do an LTIP properly unless you've done that thinking properly. It really forces you to think. Let's go on to the downsides protections. So we put in some emergency breaks, and this is something you were very helpful on. So another of the things you said early on was penalise increases in risk factors. And we've given ourselves fairly broad discretion to pull the emergency brake if customer feedback deteriorated a long way, if team feedback deteriorated a long way, if health and safety deteriorated, if capital assets were not maintained, or crucially, if the dividend were not paid, then we don't have to do any of this. One of the opportunities here for me has again been to demonstrate the importance to management of things like employee surveys, because we need to know now whether or not we've continued to be a good employer. And if we don't have the data, then we may well pull the emergency brake. So not only has it been a chance to communicate clearly to management what are the big risk factors for us that we do not want to see go downhill, it's also been an opportunity to signal that we really must have a monitoring framework around this. Otherwise, the LTIP is at risk.
No, I think that is a big advantage for family business to be able to be much more careful around what the risks are. And it's really important that incentives are operated within the risk framework of the organization. I think on the employee engagement, as we've discussed, and I think for our audience, it's an important note to have, because employee engagement is very important, but one needs to be very careful with putting it into incentives explicitly, because then it can easily become an incentive to make employees fill in engagement surveys in the wrong way. And it sounds funny, but I have seen that go very wrong. And it's not that that can be more destructive than anything. If we get managers misinterpreting how this is going to be used. But absolutely, like you have done, to have clear indicators around what is, and in particular, unacceptable outcomes in the pursuit of this strategy.
One thing that you were very clear on in a lot of the fail-safes, and also in some of the complexities that we'll get onto later, what happens if, you've often counseled wide discretion because you've said, look, you can't foresee everything. And if you try to foresee everything, you're going to pay a lot of lawyers a lot of money and you still won't have foreseen everything. So you know, you've counseled quite a lot of discretion, not in the formula. There's a bit of discretion in the formula for unusual events, positive and negative, affecting profits.
Yep.
But a lot of discretion on the emergency breaks. So could you unpack that a little bit?
Well, as I said before, the formula is the greatest threat to the LTIP. And it is important that we protect the family as much as possible. But we also need to make sure that the incentive is something that management can trust. So there's no worry from management point of view that this will not be delivered if they perform, because then you would have wasted money on an incentive that they didn't value. A little bit like we talked about earlier, you when you had a discretionary bonus plan, you didn't count on the bonus. If you get into the same situation with the LTIP, that's a negative, because management is not appreciating what they're working towards. And, you know, you lose lock-in effect, you lose maybe even focus on what the incentives say. So you don't want that. But here, we established that we have a very good relationship between board and management, and we have an open process. You also have a board that is looking at this together. It's more than one person. You have a collective review and evaluation of this. It's not as if it's going to be chairman's whim that casts one way or another. So if one has a good governance structure, a good relationship between management and board, which most family businesses will have, then you should make sure that you protect the plan both ways by having a bit of discretion in there, because it is impossible to do everything on formula. Where you have a listed equity, it is much easier, because the market can take into account gazillions of variables. Still gets wrong a lot of the time, but at least you have the market buffer there to help you with that. But in a private situation, you don't. So you should limit the risk. In particular, if you want to have more sizable rewards or opportunities for management, the more important those checks are.
Actually, you raise a good point that we've talked a lot with the assumption that we're talking about medium or large unlisted, as in private businesses. One thing I wanted to pick up on that is another assumption that's kind of run through what we've talked about, which is that we would pay out cash. So the scheme has some formula, it works out how much cash we pay out. Now, in olden times, it would have been possible to have some arrangement with shares and structures and what have you, and you effectively wouldn't pay out cash. You'd somehow make it a capital gain or something. My general impression, having talked to you and our tax advisors and what have you about this, is that if you try and play clever games to alter the tax treatment of these schemes by having fake shares or some sort of options that have a notional value or anything like that, increasingly HMRC will just look through it and say, that's income, and we're taxing it as income. And what the context of this is, of course, trying to get the tax rate of the recipients of these payments as low as possible.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that ability to play games around that's gone away.
It has. And also, I mean, even if there are tax opportunities to be had, most those that are there are HMRC designed. So, but you should consider first of all, always, what the incentive is meant to do. Because it's nice if the incentive can deliver a tax break for the recipient, but if that is at the cost of the family's long-term wealth, then it's very doubtful whether you should do it. You should always, always, always consider the reputational damage, even of a plan that is entirely blessed by HMRC. Will it be so in a few years' time, you know, in the eyes of the public? and what, how would the family feel about it being on the front page of the Daily Mail? That test should always be there. And you know, tax planning, it's a separate subject, but it should come after choice of incentive structures. You can alter the incentive structures later on to make them tax efficient if there are such opportunities. But I mean, most larger businesses would be extremely cautious. I mean, there are opportunities around allowing executives to buy equity and earn equity, and then if that equity grows in value, which comes back to what we talked about before, if it's equity, it'll need to be sold at some point. Who's buying it? Is the family going to be able to buy back the equity? Or will you have to sell businesses or something in order to do that? Because the executive, as you know, even if the executive's been with you for 20 years, come retirement, it's their money, their investment. Why would they be happy to just follow what you and your cousins or want to do? There will be a conflict of interest that at least should be planned for.
Yes,
and you know, they will want to get the money out for their family.